Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, February 3rd, Pope Francis invites government leaders to prioritize the rights of children as the Vatican hosts a summit on the issue. Hospitals in the Democratic Republic of Congo are under pressure as rebels take over parts of the country's east, and uncertainty abounds as the U.S. imposes tariffs on several trading partners. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis met today with participants in a high-level summit on children's rights taking place in the Vatican's Clementine Hall. The Pope reminded world leaders that nothing is worth more than a child and that their rights must be protected. Lisa Zingarini reports.
Dobbiamo renderci conto che i bambini piccoli con i loro sguardi e i loro silenzi ci parlano.
Addressing the world leaders convened in the Vatican for the first international summit on children's rights, Pope Francis reiterated his impassioned plea for protecting children victims of conflict, poverty, migration, and of a throwaway culture, insisting on the urgent need to listen to them. Nothing, he said, is worth more than the life of a child. In his speech, the Pope highlighted that despite global progress, many children still suffer from poverty, lack of education, injustice and exploitation. He drew attention to the particularly dire conditions of millions of children in war-torn and impoverished regions, but also stressed that even in wealthier societies, children face vulnerabilities such as mental health struggles, violence and social marginalization. One of the most alarming issues Pope Francis addressed was the devastating impact of war on children, which he said is unacceptable. He also denounced what he termed the pathological individualism visible in developed nations, where children often face abuse, neglect, or even infanticide by those meant to protect them.
Non è accettabile.
He again decried the loss of young migrant lives, as countless children die on dangerous journeys driven by desperation, and also the persistence of child slavery, forced labor, trafficking, and forced marriages. A particularly forceful part of the speech was his condemnation of abortion, fueled by a throwaway culture, which the Pope emphasized cuts off the source of hope for the entire society. Concluding, Pope Francis expressed his hope that the summit will contribute to building a better world for children, reaffirming the moral duty to place their rights at the center of global concerns. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Staying with the story, dozens of high-level executives and government ministers joined Pope Francis for the first international summit on children's rights. As Kelsey Gussie reports, panelists range from the Queen of Jordan to the former president of Indonesia.
Speakers from all over the world came to discuss the global crisis of millions of children without basic human rights. Seven panels covered a range of topics, from children's rights in the modern world and access to education, to the right to free time and the right to food and health care. In one of the first messages on the rights of children in the modern world, Queen Rania al-Abdullah of Jordan exhorted the international community to care for every child, no matter their situation. She stressed that that was the promise the world made to children because every child has an equal claim to our protection and care. On another panel, former U.S. Vice President Al Gore warned against the threat of ecological devastation, which he called a burden we have placed upon the children of our planet. A willful blindness has kept many from seeing the effects of global warming, greenhouse gases, and other forms of climate change. Gore, the founder and president of the Climate Reality Project, emphasized that it is not the current generation that will live with the consequences, but our children's generations. The president of GKSD Investment Holding Group, Kamel Gharibi, described that children are the beauty of the world. Yet he challenged everyone present and the international community to make this summit different than others. He argued that we must look beyond simply finding the solution to hunger and injustice for children. But we must seek to find the problem behind the problem, the why. He appealed to everyone present to move beyond words and live this call to aid children after this day. He said, "I hope that when we all leave here today, we will make concrete gestures." With this call to action and the prospect of a just future, although the summit ends today, its mission will carry on until every child has access to the most basic of human rights. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Pope Francis today also welcomed a delegation of Scandinavian pilgrims during their first visit to Rome for the Jubilee year, organized by the Nordic Bishops' Conference. He urged them to be united witnesses of reconciliation and peace in times of war, as Francesca Merlo reports.
Addressing pilgrims from Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Finland and Iceland on Monday, Pope Francis reflected on their Jubilee pilgrimage as an opportunity to grow in faith, hope and love. He also urged a united witness of reconciliation and peace amidst ongoing wars. Referring to the Jubilee's theme, Pilgrims of Hope, the Pope encouraged the pilgrims to deepen their faith by visiting the tombs of Saints Peter and Paul.
In particular, le tombe dei Santi Apostoli Pietro e Paolo.
May your awareness of belonging to Christ and to each other be nourished and deepened, he said. Quoting Saint Paul, he reminded them that they are created in Christ to do good works. He emphasized that sharing the gospel, particularly with those on the margins, is the greatest work of all. The Pope encouraged continued evangelization, stressing that their mission does not end with their return home. He urged Catholic communities in Scandinavia to collaborate with other Christian denominations and engage in interreligious dialogue, particularly in welcoming migrants.
Migranti, che avete accolto così bene.
In these difficult times, our human family needs a united testimony to reconciliation and peace, he said. Addressing young people, Pope Francis highlighted the upcoming canonization of Blessed Carlo Acutis.
Il 27 aprile celebreremo la canonizzazione del Beato Carlo Acutis. Conoscete?
Do you know him? He asked, receiving an applause. Calling him a saint of our times, he urged young people to embrace their role in the Church. We need you, he said.
Ne abbiamo bisogno.
I'm Francesca Merlo.
In India, the Diocesan Youth Center of the Archdiocese of Bombay has kick-started the Jubilee year with a dynamic series of programs titled the High Five Events. This tapestry of events has been creatively designed to nourish the faith journey of young people through diverse youth-friendly activities at the diocesan, deanery, and parish levels. The organizer of the event, Deacon Ivan Fernandez, told Vatican News that the concept of high five resonates well with young people, symbolizing enthusiasm and celebration. Referring to the Jubilee year, he said that this is a time for high fives with Jesus. Overcrowded hospitals in Goma are struggling to respond to the needs of hundreds of wounded people amid continued fighting between government forces and Rwanda-backed rebels. The Democratic Republic of Congo's largest eastern city of around 2 million people, including hundreds of thousands of refugees, is contended by M23 militias who are continuing their march on Bukavu in the South Kivu province. Linda Bordoni has the details.
North Kivu in DR Congo was among the war-torn regions Pope Francis entrusted to prayers for peace during his Angelus address on Sunday and during his general audience last Wednesday. His appeals resonated amid continued fighting in which more than 770 people have been killed and nearly 3,000 injured in the city of Goma and its vicinity. Since the start of the rebel offensive on the 26th of January, witnesses have described bodies abandoned on the streets and overflowing morgues. It is feared the death toll could be much higher than the numbers officially registered. Meanwhile, those arriving at the hospitals with gunshot or shrapnel wounds face situations of inadequate personnel and supplies. Fears of the spread of diseases are compounded by the lack of water and electricity in parts of the densely populated city and throughout the region, which is facing mpox and cholera outbreaks. The M23 rebels are backed by some 4,000 troops from neighbouring Rwanda. They are the most powerful of the more than 100 armed groups vying for control in Congo's mineral-rich east, which holds vast deposits critical to much of the world's technology. Unlike in 2012, the rebels say they now plan to march to Congo's capital, Kinshasa, describing the country as a failed state under President Felix Tshisekedi. But the fighting in Congo is rooted in colonization and a decades-long ethnic conflict. The Italian Bishops' Conference that has stood by the population with humanitarian support since 1991 echoed the Pope's call for peace in DR Congo and on Monday announced the allocation of a further €1 million towards emergency projects in Goma and socio-economic development initiatives. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Christian Solidarity Worldwide is calling on the international community to take urgent and decisive action as Myanmar faces Mars 4 years since the military seized power in a coup. Since 2021, over 28,000 people have been arbitrarily detained, according to the organization, with religious minorities facing disproportionate persecution. Detainees in Myanmar are reportedly subjected to extreme psychological and physical abuse, including torture and inhumane conditions in detention centers, according to the advocacy group. Reports indicated a systematic pattern of sexual violence in conflict zones and detention centers. Several countries have vowed to respond to tariffs the United States is set to impose on imports as of Tuesday. President Donald Trump announced on Saturday that the U.S. will impose the tariffs on its neighbors Canada and Mexico and threatened more for the European Union. James Blears has the story.
President Donald Trump is going to impose a 25% tariff on Mexican and Canadian exports to it, while Chinese exports will be affected by 10% tariffs. Furthermore, he says tariffs will be imposed on European goods. If not halted, it's bound to cause a global economic recession. Concerning Mexico, Trump insists that this is due to drug trafficking and continued illegal migration. Each of the three nations have declared they will respond in kind, so the basis for a huge economic storm is poised to break. Mexican, Canadian, and Chinese goods add up to more than 40% of current exports to the United States. In spite of this, Trump is choosing to wield the big stick of isolationism. He's accusing the Mexican government of harboring an intolerable alliance with the drug cartels. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum says this claim amounts to slander. She's calling on the U.S. government to clamp down on arms trafficking, which is arming the drug cartels to the teeth, so much so that their firepower is outgunning Mexican law and order enforcement. She's offering to continue working with the U.S. government on these issues, stressing problems are resolved by talks and discussions rather than tariffs. Mexico's effectively helped seal the shared border, and the number of undocumented migrants detained has dramatically increased. Drug seizures are also increasing. Trump says there'll be some sort of short-term disruption. However, it's certain to cut much deeper, inflict grievous and lasting wounds, and they'll form into scars which will last much longer. The world's now holding its breath as the winds of a trade war swirl and gather pace, with time rapidly running out. Trump says he'll have talks with the leaders of Mexico and Canada today. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
The United Nations has recorded an alarming rise in reported executions of Ukrainian soldiers captured by Russian armed forces during the war in recent months. The monitoring mission in Ukraine said it had received reports of 79 executions in 24 separate incidents since the end of last August. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to Alberto Giovannetti in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.